and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
Ensuring the integrity of elections is an essential issue.
How a bill requiring proof of citizenship to vote could impact elections.
Mi nombre es Benito Antonio Martínez Ocasio.
Two artists with Chicago ties on making history with Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl.
I think it's really critical that we create opportunities for young women.
And meet the women powering their own mechanic shop. First off tonight, federal officials say the massive immigration crackdown that killed two people in Minnesota is coming to an end. Trump administration border czar Tom Homan is hailing it as a success.
There were some issues here, and we addressed those issues. But I'm not going to sit here and say anybody did anything wrong and that, you know, they were, you know, unprofessional. I'm going to say there's some issues here. We fixed those issues. We've had great success with this operation. And we're leaving Minnesota safer.
Homan says the two-month operation led to 4,000 arrests. It's also been a flashpoint in the debate over the administration's immigration enforcement tactics, which led to the deaths of Renee Good and Alex Pretty at the hands of federal agents. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is urging continued protests and proposing a $10 million aid package for businesses that lost revenue because of the operation. The Chicago Board of Education is terminating its contract with a search firm hired to find a new school's chief. The move comes as six of the board's elected members claim the mayor's office has interfered with the search. In a statement, those six members argue, quote, this blatant political interference is harmful to the entire district, to schools, staff, families, and most importantly, the students. Every problem becomes more difficult to solve when there is leadership instability. Board members say the selection process had been working well until last November, when they claim Mayor Brandon Johnson and his hand-picked allies on the board began, quote, running political interference. At the time, names of finalists were leaked, and they say progress has since stalled. The search has been on since former CEO Pedro Martinez left last June after the previous school board voted to fire him. Okay, first comes the snow, then dibs. Then Chicagoans' newest winter tradition, the annual snowplow naming contest. And the entry getting the most attention this year, Abolish Ice, is clearly a pun linking the city's snowplowing efforts to opposition of President Trump's mass deportation campaign. Among the other top 25 finalists are Blizzard of Oz, Derek Froese, Pope Frio XIV, and Plowin' 6-7 Inches. The top six vote-getters win the honor of renaming one snowplow in each of Chicago's six snow districts. The deadline to cast your ballot is this Saturday. Check out our website to learn how. Up next, efforts in Congress to overhaul elections right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Voting rights groups are sounding the alarm over the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, or the SAVE Act. The proposed federal legislation would require voters to display a photo ID as well as proof of citizenship, either a birth certificate or a passport, to register to vote. It would also impose criminal penalties on officials who register voters without proper documentation. The bill passed out of the House yesterday but faces an uphill battle in the Senate. Joining us to discuss the bill are Ed Yonka, Communications and Public Policy Director at the ACLU of Illinois, and on Zoom, State Senator Andrew Chesney, a Republican whose district includes Freeport in Western Illinois. Gentlemen, thanks to you both for joining us. Welcome back.
Welcome.
So, Ed, let's start with how election officials and polling places verify American citizenship among voters as it is right now.
For the most part, voters present identification either through a state ID or some other kind of ID when they register to vote, and they sign an affidavit saying that they are eligible to vote. We've had that system in place for over many years, and there is little or no evidence that there is any issue with non-citizens voting. There are reports in almost every election cycle of a handful of people who either attempt to vote, attempt to impersonate someone to vote, attempt to vote in some other way. Those things are dealt with at the local level, and those people are weeded out and punished. What this is an attempt from the federal level to take what are really, you know, conspiracy theories and turn them into federal policy.
Senator Chesney, do you think the current system, the way Ed's just described it, is that sufficient?
No, it's not. And if you ask the public, they agree that it's not sufficient. It's overwhelming Democrats, Republicans, and independents support a voter ID system. There's no evidence that suggests that a voter ID system suppresses votes. The Democrats want to make it easy to vote, but also easy to cheat. And we want free and fair elections. We want people to participate in the process. What we don't want, or for non-citizens and illegal immigrants, to have access to our ability to vote. And most developed countries throughout the world have a voter ID system. And my question to anybody that opposes it, what is there to hide?
Let me answer that question. The question is not only what is there to hide, but what is the problem we're fixing? Because again, there is little to no evidence that there is any kind of mass fraud. The reason that they are able to point to polls that suggest that people fear the integrity of the system is because we have had the person in this country with the loudest megaphone whine for a decade about losing elections. When he loses, they're cheating. When he wins, everything's okay. So this is just nonsense. But the other thing is if you look back to even when the Supreme Court of the United States allowed a voter ID system in an Indiana case, then Justice Scalia, who wrote the majority opinion, acknowledged that there were people who were going to be denied the right to vote because they didn't have access to an ID. You can't say you're for free and fair elections or for people to be included and then say, oh yes, but we want to cut people out. It just doesn't work.
Ed, proponents of the SAVE Act, they say it would prevent illegal immigrants from voting in American elections.
Right. That doesn't happen already.
I would also say that I would say that 72% of Democrats support voter ID, and that's certainly not people that support the president. And also, voter ID is simply common sense. You have to do this to transact and to function in civilized society. You need this to bank. You need this to access government services. And so if this is so, if this hill is so high to climb, then why do we require this for virtually every function in life, with the exception of one of our greatest responsibilities, which is the opportunity and the right to vote? One reason, it's to make it easy to cheat.
First of all, if that were true, then at some point someone would be able to prove the cheating in a court of law. They can't. Number two, we keep hearing about polls and who supports what. I just say, I keep reading the polls about the number of people who don't support the president's mass deportation program. I presume he's going to drop that tomorrow as a result, if we're doing things by poll.
Okay, so Senator, according to the University of Maryland Center for Democracy and Civic Engagement, nearly 4 million Americans, though, lack any form of citizenship documentation. Could the SAVE Act make it harder for those people to vote?
Well, I can only speak for Illinois, and they provide everything for free. And if you need an ID, you can get it for free. If you need a birth certificate, they're $15, and I'd be happy to support legislation for those that can't afford it that would make that at low cost or no cost as well. But let's be clear, these are not financial barriers that Democrats and progressives have an issue with. These are voting outcomes, and the Democrats only support policies where voting outcomes are going to improve their chances of winning. That's all this is. That's why 72% of Democrats and 95% of Republicans support an ID system. That is why Canada, the UK, Denmark all have a voter ID system. That's not to suppress the vote. That's to make certain that in our case, U.S. citizens or legal citizens are voting no different than every other country in the industrialized world wants to make certain that their citizens are the only people voting. And so this is about voting outcomes. This isn't about barriers or
Let's be clear. The SAVE Act is not about voter ID. It is about proof of citizenship, including a document that matches your current name. There are 5 million Illinoisans who don't have access to a passport. There are 2.5 million Illinoisans, mostly women, whose birth certificate does not match their current name on their voting registration because they changed their name when they are married. Those folks would all be at risk of being knocked from the rolls, being challenged, and voting officials who would be threatened with criminal penalties if they allowed those people to vote, which would discourage more participation. This is not a voter ID law. This is not a voter integrity law. This is a voter suppression law, pure and simple.
So, Senator, you mentioned, you know, getting an ID in Illinois, that can be free for some folks, but getting a passport book costs $130, and these are federal documents, of course. Getting a passport card is $30. Should American citizens have to pay to vote if they need a passport to prove their citizenship and vote?
It's not controversial to suggest that we want to know that who you say you are is who you are. That it's only controversial to Democrats and progressive, which is why most modern countries have adopted voter ID laws. You need birth certificates to function. You need IDs to function. These are not radical ideas that you should have to prove you are who you say you are. It is only because Democrats want to manipulate the outcomes within our elections, and they don't want you to prove it. So what the Democrats say in the state of Illinois is, we're not going to ask for your ID, we're not going to purge the voter rolls, and then show us where the fraud is. Well, we just say, hey, if you want to vote, just show us you are who you are. What's controversial about that? Denmark, Sweden, UK, Canada, they all figured it out. They're not exactly some conservative right-wing countries. The reason the Democrats are pushing back so far on this is because they know they have a problem if we have to ask people to identify who they are prior to them or during the voting process. And the Democrats don't want us to look under the hood on this issue. And this will reveal the shortcomings of our current system, but also tighten it up. Here's the deal. Everybody in this country should know when they vote, their vote is counted, their vote is accurate, and then there is no interference in our elections.
So
we just heard a great filibuster
with political talking points about Democrats. So, let me just say that we have a president in the White House who is scared to death that there will be a Congress that will hold him accountable. And he intends to meddle, and he intends to cheat, and he intends to do anything that he can to ensure that that doesn't happen. This process is part of it.
15 seconds left, Ed. Do you see any room for compromise between the two groups, one calling for stricter voter ID laws and one that does not?
I think that there are two things that we could look at. I think a long-term analysis of what is actually happening in our voting system, and I think looking at how we would provide people with IDs and access for free, okay, I think are things people could discuss, but that's
so
not what
questions,
we're hearing.
Basically, yeah. You've got some research. That's where we'll have to leave it, though. State Senator Chesney, Ed Yonka, thanks to you both.
Thanks.
Up next, inside a new mechanic shop that's steering women towards the trade. In Ravenswood, a new kind of mechanic shop is breaking the mold. Reporter Joanna Hernandez shows us how a garage is opening its doors to drive more women into the industry.
Ever pop the hood of your car and have no idea what you're looking at? For some drivers, walking into a mechanic shop can feel intimidating.
It's just not a safe environment, a really included space when somebody kind of talks in vehicle jargon and makes it way overcomplicated when it's actually really simple. Do you need this or do you not?
Meet Ray Chafin. She's the lead mechanic at Mecanista, a nonprofit repair shop aimed at making auto care more inclusive for women and non-binary folks.
the whole time in the military, I was the only female. It wasn't until right before I actually retired out that I got to train my first female in this job. You can pull it out and check it.
It's not that bad.
This one actually looks pretty new.
Chafin spent nearly a decade in the Air Force as a heavy mobile equipment mechanic. She knows her way around cars.
I was always working with my hands. I was probably handed some tool at the age of 2 and was like, go play with this outside, take it apart, put it back together. And then while you're checking the level, also checking the fluid, making sure that it looks clean, it's not burnt.
2% of all auto mechanics are women, and it's a problem because we have all of these openings everywhere.
Lisa Thompson is the founder of Mechanista, an idea she says came after research and conversation with people in the industry. That's when she first heard about the 2% problem.
And so I said, oh, well, what are you doing? Like, what are some of the things that people are doing to try to solve this 2% problem? And he said, I don't really think that anyone's doing anything about it. So I remember I told my husband, I was like, I think I have to do this. I think I have to start a program for this.
And the garage doesn't look like an ordinary mechanic shop.
I wanted this space to look like someplace I would feel comfortable curling up with a book and a cup of coffee.
The auto shop has plenty of space for parents to bring their kids or anyone wanting to get some work done while their car is being serviced.
I want them to walk out feeling like, wow, that was fun. That was a pleasant hour. And I know what's going on with my car.
It could possibly just be your belt if it's getting worn like that.
Besides offering car services, Thompson says they are developing a 12-week apprentice program for ages 16 to 24, a chance for girls and non-binary people to jump into a career in the automotive industry.
I think it's really critical that we create opportunities for young women to work in a garage and to learn in a place that they feel safe, that they feel included, that they feel is equitable, because otherwise they may not stay in the field.
And you never want to open that when a car is just pulled in here because pressurized and very hot. I think I'm getting an opportunity to create that safe space and that opportunity to give people the confidence and show them that we can do this. We are so capable as human beings, but absolutely as women, women plus.
For Chicago Tonight, I'm Joanna Hernandez.
Mechanista is also hosting car care workshops, including a Valentine's Day event where people can learn how to jumpstart their car and get a tour under the hood. For how to make an appointment, you can visit our website. Up next, meet two of the locals who helped Bad Bunny bring his Super Bowl vision to life. Latin culture was on full display on Super Bowl Sunday as Bad Bunny made history as the first Latin solo artist to headline the halftime show. The performance, almost entirely in Spanish, averaged more than 128 million viewers and was praised by fans for highlighting and celebrating Puerto Rican culture. But it also received pushback, with two Republican Congress members calling for an investigation into the performance, calling it, quote, pure smut. Two local artists, though, were among Bad Bunny's hundreds and hundreds of performers at the stadium that day. Joining us are Lyric Cruz, dancer, choreographer, and creative director. And on Zoom, Giancarlo Guerrero, six-time Grammy Award-winning conductor and the artistic director and principal conductor of Chicago's Grant Park Music Festival. Welcome to you both. Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
I imagine you're still riding a high. Lyric, tell me what the last few days have been like since Sunday's performance.
Well, you know, happily exhausted. But, you know, riding the high, you know, it's unpacking a lot of emotion. You know, being a homegrown Puerto Rican from Chicago, being able to represent my neighborhood of Humboldt Park and Chicago on the world's largest stage is something I didn't see was going to be possible at this point of my career. So, you know, the emotions are still going and running on the excitement. Happily exhausted.
I'm sure. Giancarlo, same question to you. What have the last few days been like for you?
It's been very exciting and electric. I was so proud to be part of this incredible project with so many people from so many different backgrounds, everybody coming together for one beautiful common purpose, which is to put the best show possible. And I can tell you, all through the rehearsals, the performance, the joy on the field was palpable. Everybody was so proud to be part of it. And honestly, this is something that I will never forget in my life.
I'm sure. Giancarlo, let's go back to sort of getting booked. It sounds like you were handpicked by the man himself.
Yeah, so about a week before, the Saturday, the weekend before, I got a call from my manager that apparently Bad Bunny's manager called him that there was going to be this string orchestra involved in the halftime show, and that Benito Bad Bunny wanted an actual string orchestra, and he wanted an actual conductor leading it. And somewhere in along the lines, he knew of me, he knew of my career and what I was up to as a conductor, as a Hispanic conductor. Maybe the Grammys had a connection there. The fact that we both have 6 Grammys now, maybe that had something to do with it. So they reached out to me. And at first, honestly, there was a part of me that I thought this is maybe a joke. I didn't see the connection. Bad Bunny, NFL, halftime show, classical conductor. But very quickly, I realized this was not a joke. And I was very excited.
But you also had to keep it a secret. Go ahead.
Well, that is the other part that, you know, I did tell my 2 daughters, though, because they're huge Bad Bunny fans. And I did tell them, and also like myself, they thought it was a joke. And for a while, they were getting angry. But finally, they realized this is actually happening.
Lyric, what about you? I imagine you probably have a lot of friends or have a lot of friends who are Bad Bunny fans as well. Couldn't tell them, could you, when you found out?
Oh, this was the hardest secret to ever keep. You know, because you get one email that's like, congratulations, you're being booked for Super Bowl 60. And the next email is, here's the NDA that I need to sign. But, you know, I think we all understood the gravity of the project. And I think that we wanted to protect it, too. You know, so it was tough, you know, but I definitely had to tell Mom right away.
Of course. Yeah, you got to call Mom. What did it mean for you to be a part of a performance like this, and also at a time like this, when so many in the Latino community feel like they are under attack by this administration?
Yeah, so, Brenda, for me, this is, my Puerto Rican-ness is not a fad. This is something that has been instilled in me since I was a kid. Again, growing up in a neighborhood like Humboldt Park, you grow up with so much pride. So knowing that I was going to take the world's largest stage with the biggest artist in the planet right now.
And so everybody knows, you were on stage for the wedding.
Yes.
With Lady Gaga.
For the wedding, which that was another like huge surprise that we did not find out until we were doing tech rehearsal inside Levi Stadium. But, you know, knowing that I was going to be able to be part of showing the world 15 minutes of Puerto Rico is the greatest honor that I could have ever had in this career.
Giancarlo, tell me a little bit more about the sort of the different parts of culture that the performance, the Latino culture, not just Puerto Rican culture, but the Latino culture that was celebrated in those 15 minutes.
Well, you did see that there were different stages within the show, and with every stage was a different style of music, which shows you the breadth of Bad Bunny's talent. And when I spent some time with him before the show, I became an even bigger fan of his, just because he's got so much curiosity beyond what we think of that performer. And that is actually quite laudable. And something that he said to me that made me really respect him was the fact that he said to me, I wanted an actual string orchestra, I wanted a conductor, because I have too much respect for what you guys do. You guys need to be put in the best light possible. And you know what, to me, that the message was clear. The most important part is the music and the music making. And from that point on, I realized this is a guy that is serious about what he does. And you could see it in every different stage that he was exploring different musical languages.
Lyric, tell me a little bit about your dance background and how Humboldt Park sort of shapes you as a performer.
Well, you know, coming from a single parent home, my mother was a single mom of 3 boys. So, you know, having money for dance classes wasn't really a thing. But, you know, I grew up in a community that offered it. And I am a kid that was raised by the village. So, you know, I started taking dance classes at the Humboldt Park Fieldhouse, which, you know, with the Chicago Park District. And, you know, it just... You know, I was a super ambitious, energetic boy. So, you know, once I found this outlet, I knew that this was what my energy was for. And, you know, by the time I was 17, I started my own dance company my senior year of high school. And the rest has been history.
You've been dancing for a while. Briefly, yes. Before we let you go, tell me about how the production was inclusive for all kinds of dancers, all kinds of performers.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll piggyback off what he said. You know, Bad Bunny is a very intentional artist. And when you get to work with a very intentional artist, you feel so honored and you feel so seen. And being in part of a cast that was so inclusive, and I'm talking about from the demographic of age to the different beautiful body shapes that were there, from every tone of black, brown, beige, it was so beautiful, you know? And so it was such a celebration of us.
Giancarlo, briefly, before we let you go as well, where can folks see you next?
Well, I am going to be at the Grant Park Music Festival in June, leading this year's festival, which is going to be very, very special. I'm looking forward to my return to Chicago this summer.
All right, I look forward to seeing if you can figure out how to work any Bad Bunny style music into the festival this summer. That's a thumbs up, everybody.
For sure.
All right, thanks to the two of you for joining us. Congrats again. Looking forward to seeing what's next for you both, Lyric Cruz and Giancarlo Guerrero. Thank you. And we're back with more right after this.
Reflecting the people and perspectives that make up our communities, this story is part of Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices.
And that's our show for this Thursday night. Join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 7 for the Week in Review. Now for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm, and sponsor of programming that offers continuing education to fellow legal practitioners in Illinois.